We are facing very uncertain times in the market right now. No one knows whether it's going to go up or down. But what we can tell you is last time we did our two market updates, we said to exit all markets when Bitcoin was at 110K. It went down from there. Then our next one was when Bitcoin was at 80K, and it went up from there when we told you that the bottom was confirmed. So in today, our newest market update, we're going to give you our best guess on where the market is going next.
Look, straight up, we are some of the best people in the industry to analyze the markets. We don't miss. And the reason for that is we look at data that nobody else is looking at. And today, we're going to bring you some very interesting stuff that you need to know about.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
In today's very important market update, we are going to tell you the most likely scenario of where Bitcoin and crypto is going to go next. Right now, we are facing very uncertain times. Some people will tell you the bear market is here and Bitcoin is about to plummet more. Some people will tell you we are about to enter a new massive phase of the market, bringing us to all-time highs. Well, we're going to look at the raw data and some hidden data that no one else is looking at and tell you what's actually going to happen next.
Now, before we begin this episode, let us know in the comments what you guys think is going to happen. Just simply, are we going to see a bullish 2026 or is this going to be a bearish 2026? Now, we have some interesting data in today's episode. And one thing I want to look at, first of all, is what is everybody else thinking? And I think that that's, if you look at the comments, that'll be quite interesting. Because right now, the sentiment is pretty dead. Like, the engagement is quite low on all our posts, you know, across, like, anybody on X or YouTube, whatever. It's for sure really, really low at the moment. And I think that's because everybody was expecting a, first of all, a blow off top at the end of November, and we didn't get that. What did we get? We got the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Now everybody was expecting a bearish 2026. Well, now that some liquidity things have changed in the background, some people are starting to flip bullish again. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can analyze, you know, how people are currently viewing the market and what we see.
Yeah, so by the end of this episode, I guarantee you are going to know our very clear prediction on what is going to happen with Bitcoin over the next few months and for the entirety of 2026. And where Bitcoin goes, altcoins will follow. So if you watch this episode to the end, you're going to know probably more than likely what's going to happen. But before we paint that picture, we have to look at, again, what people are thinking and what has happened. And honestly, you could make a great argument for both sides. Now, the bearish side, and it's kind of the side that we've been leaning on since we did that episode in October, was, look, the bull market topped exactly where it should have. October 2025 was 4 years, you know, from the bottom. If you time it up with previous cycles, that's exactly where it should have topped. Now, we could have probably predicted that before, but, you know, in hindsight, everything is 2020. And you know, if that's true, then we've been in a bear market now for over 2 months, 2.5 months. And the bottom should form sometime later this year, maybe in around October, November again. But then when you look at the bull side, a lot of these people are saying, look, you know, the business cycle, the liquidity cycle has been pushed back a year. Stock market continues to fly. Metals continue to fly. Liquidity is still there. The only reason that crypto has been lagging is because of what happened in October, this massive 10-10 crash probably caused by Binance that wiped up some market makers and they've been doing forced selling. And what they would say is that, okay, look, the market makers, the selling is exhausted now. Bitcoin and crypto should return to the mean. It should be somewhere near 100K, right? And honestly, you could make a case that both of those arguments, yeah, that's legit. That seems right. That's legit. Oh, maybe we are going to revert to the mean. But when you look at some of the underlying data, I think one of them becomes clear, and that's where we're going to give our prediction later in the episode.
Yeah, look, I think crypto is like, people have lost faith in it straight up. Between all the rug pulls, scams, you know, the market makers going under. If you're a big institutional player, where are you going to put your money? Are you going to put it, like, even off air, we were talking about how Zcash, the founders were bailing, right?
Yep.
And that's a multi-billion dollar project that was supposed to be about anonymity and being able to send your funds, you know, where people can't trace you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a major project. I think even Grayscale is posting about them or whatnot, right? And then it tanks 25%. What institutional player, and that was a well-developed project too, what institutional player is going to want to put any money into any sort of crypto right now when, you know, metals are flying and there's a flight to safety or, you know, maybe energy, you know, because you're going to need energy for AI. You know, there's all these other, we're talking about maybe space could be a really big industry to, mm-hmm. to be invested in. So if you're an institutional player with big money, where are you going to put it? Are you going to put it into the scammy altcoin market or are you going to put it into something that's trustworthy?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Trust is broken in the crypto market. And it doesn't matter if you're a bull or a bear right now, you have to address that fact. Trust is broken because of what happened a few months ago in October. Why would you buy an altcoin that is legit when it just had an 80% down wick? Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
No one in their right mind that's investing with anything in size would actually buy that. But then on the flip side, you know, if you're a long-term investor, when do you want to be buying something? When it looks like shit. You want to buy something when people won't touch it and are calling it a scam. If you have a horizon of multiple years, that's when you want to be buying. You want to buy Bitcoin when it's at 15K, when it's like, oh my God, this industry is dead. You want to buy, you know, even like a blue chip tech stock. Like I remember years ago, Meta, Facebook, they were calling that company dead. Yeah. The stock went down like 70%. That's when you want to buy it because then it went up 300%, right? So like there are obviously blue chip altcoins, a few of them, and Bitcoin, Ethereum, it's going to recover, right? So when things are terrible, if you have a long-term horizon, it's usually when you want to buy. But I think we have to face facts here. If it looks like a bear market and it acts like a bear market, it's a bear market. So through all these people saying, no, it's a 5-year cycle now. Like, okay, maybe it is, but until it's proven that it is, you have to look at it and be like, no, it's a 4-year cycle.
I don't know how are people arguing that is, I blows my mind. People are like, the 4-year cycle is dead. Bro, it literally topped out in October when we said it would.
Like to the day.
To the day. How can you argue that it's not? So it's 3 years up, 3 years of up, 1 year of down.
Yeah,
3 years up was October. We said it was. So what is the 1 year down? Well, you're going to get some buying opportunities, in my personal opinion, mm-hmm. somewhere probably in May and again near the midterms around November.
Yeah,
I looked at how Bitcoin performed during all previous midterm election years. Now, look, I know 2009, 2010, that was the willy-nilly days of Bitcoin, you know, cyberpunk, and, you know, it just came out. But when you look at 2014, Bitcoin started the year at $750. Finished 57% lower, around $300. 2018, 13,000, finished at 3,700. 2022, started at 47,000, finished at 16,000. Every time there's a midterm election year, it finishes on average with a 60% drawdown.
Yep.
I mean, what's causing that? Is it the uncertainty around the midterm elections? Is it the Bitcoin halvings? Is it the 4-year cycle? It doesn't matter. All you have is this confluence that shows you, look, 2026, tail end of the year, it's probably going to be the low end, the bear market bottom.
Yeah. I mean, again, like on the one hand, it is a quote unquote small sample size for data.
Exactly.
But it is still the sample size. That's what we're working with. So we know that the Bitcoin cycle has lined up with the midterm election year this way, that it is kind of the bear market year. But that is one of those reasons is because the stock market tends to perform poorly in midterm election years. And that's because, as we always say in the show, stock market does not like uncertainty. So when the midterm elections start to dawn upon us, we don't know which way the political edge is going to swing in America. And that's the definition of uncertainty. That's why the markets tend to nuke into midterms. And then when the midterms happen in November, clarity resumes and the markets go up. That's why a lot of these Bitcoin bottoms tend to be around October, November, around the midterms. We are in a midterm year this year. Now, the only thing, again, we like to play both sides here.
So back and forth.
The only thing that I would say against that is this is no normal administration, right?
No.
This is not your status quo, humble American president who plays by the rules. Trump can do anything. Like, he's going in and taking leaders out. Boom, willy-nilly saying, your oil is now oil. Like, this guy can pump the markets if he just says, look, we're selling this new Fed share. He's bringing their rates to zero in 2 weeks. Like, you just don't know what the political environment is going to do here. That's more uncertainty. So you could say maybe this year will be different, but you don't want to put all your eggs in the basket to say it will be different. You'd probably want to err on the side of caution, saying it's probably going to be similar. Knowing that, we still do have this new Fed chair thing. So that's one of these things that could be a bullish catalyst for the market. So if he installs this new Fed chair, whether it's Hassett or whatever the other guy's name is, all of them are probably going to play by Trump's rules. But again, that could be a buy the rumor, sell the news thing here coming leading into May, right?
That's kind of how I'm viewing it. I think, you know, the first part of this year is going to catch a lot of people off guard because there's all this, you know, for example, the Fed is now increasing their balance sheet, right? So liquidity is happening. It's the first time they've done that in 3 years. Every other time has preceded a Bitcoin rally. So now that everybody's expecting that, I almost feel like we're getting a liquidation event. Everybody's going to start longing that, look, liquidity is coming, because if you go on Twitter, on X, you can see everybody's so bullish right now. Let's wipe out all those longs. Mm-hmm. Let's nuke it down to 80K, flip everybody bearish again, then run it up to May when this new guy is put in. That's when it sells off. Because if he comes in and starts cutting 50 basis points, 100 basis points like Trump wants him to do, well, what? And if you look, paid attention to our previous market episodes, anytime there's a super large cut, the market tanks.
Yep.
So I could see him coming in, cutting too aggressively, and the market tanks. Mm. So I do have some other interesting data I wanted to look at. For a bullish perspective, the SPY over the last five, if it went green for the first 5 days of the year, and the NASDAQ is up as well, the NASDAQ finished 25 of 27 times, averaging 25% on the year. So if you're green for the first 5 days of the year, you're up 25% on the entire year, 25 of the last 27 times for the stock market. We've had five green days.
Yep.
So potentially, that's a bigger market. That's why I'm trying to say, like, that's a bigger market sample. To be looking at.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. But the, you know, the shitty thing about that is that the stock market has been ripping for 4 months and Bitcoin has been going down. It's decoupled, right? So it's like, we always wanted crypto to decouple from the stock market until it did, and to the downside. It's like, oh, well, fuck me. Yeah. Right. So it's like no longer, and even today, like, you know, the time of recording, the stock market went up at 1% today, Bitcoin down 1%. Like, it's just, it's no longer correlated. And I still think that's because of what we talked about earlier. Trust is not there anymore.
It's too much leverage. It's too much leverage as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, look, we've just thrown a lot of data at you guys. I think that the conclusion is it's best to be cautious right now. Things can change quickly, but I think we can take a look at some of the charts, some of the liquidity on Bitcoin and Ethereum, Bitcoin dominance, to give you an idea of what's happening with crypto specifically. And then after that, we'll give you our full-scale 2026 predictions. So when we look at Bitcoin liquidity, I think right now when you look at like the low time frame and even the mid time frame, it's quite striking that there is a very, very large amount of liquidity at 95K. It almost got there when we had that rally at the start of January, got to like 94K, but it didn't touch that 95K liquidity, which is interesting. I thought it would. And I think people are still betting like, yeah, we're gonna pump through 95K. But then when you look to the downside, there is quite a bit of liquidity forming around 85K. So we're kind of sandwiched, and you look at the range we've been sandwiched, it can't break through 94K. No. It can't. And that's the yearly open, and last year's yearly open. It just can't break through that. But then when you look at high time frames, the liquidity is mostly to the upside, right? Like 110K,
130,
115, 130K. Yeah. Like, it's all to the upside there. It doesn't necessarily have to take that now, no, right?
Keep building.
It can build. That could build for a year.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when you look at that.
Yeah, the range is between like 78K and 130.
Yeah. So for me, when I look at the Bitcoin liquidity, I see, look, 95K will get taken out, but I think I agree with you. I think one last dip for Bitcoin to take that 85K, maybe even a wick down to 80K, like 79K, lower than like the local low back whenever that was, and then back up to 95K. I do think we will see Q1, I would say overall Q1 into Q2, I still remain bullish, but I do think we need one last dip to wipe out that liquidity. So like down to 85, maybe 80K, wick back up 95K, you get that liquidity. Then I think there's room there to run to like 98. 98 is another key level. But I think we need one more dip to get people bearish again before we go up.
Yeah, Bitcoin never remains at or below the Bitcoin mining cost for very long, and that sits around 75K. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at it from the moment Bitcoin came out, it never goes much lower. And if it does, it's for like a week. and it springboards from there. All right, what are you seeing on the Ethereum charts?
I think the Ethereum liquidity kind of lines up to exactly what I was saying. Like, you have most of the liquidity on the high time frames is above, but then on the low time frames, you see liquidity at 2,500. So I think if you see Bitcoin go down to like 85K, I think you see the Ethereum liquidity get taken at 2,500, and then back up, you see 3,200, 3,500, and even 4,000, up to 5,000. Do I think it's going to get up to 5,000, like the Bitcoin liquidity at 130K? I don't know about that. But what I see is confluence in the liquidity zones for both Bitcoin and Ethereum saying one final dip lower, then we can see a rally into like April, May of this year. I think that's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, look, there's these massive ranges we're looking at right now. If you're a long-term investor, you have nothing to worry about. Bitcoin's going to keep going up. Ethereum's going to stay stuck at 3,000 forever. But like the playbook, to me, remains the same. And you can look at every year. The system starts to show stress. Stress starts to appear in the system. Then, you know, certain markets sell off. What ends up happening is gold and silver rally. They rally really hard. And when did we see that? We've seen that in 2008, the financial crash, the Eurozone crisis in 2011, pre-COVID, 2018, 2019, and recently 23, 24. So what happened is gold and silver spike. Then you have a Fed chair. They respond with some sort of monetary policy. And all the new asset classes, the tech starts to catch up. So, you know, back in 2008, Bitcoin was at $1. Where'd it end up? A couple hundred dollars. Then we had the 2011. It went from $10 to $1,100. This is after gold spiked. 2018, Bitcoin went from 7.5K to 69K. So you just got to wait. We've seen these spikes in gold. They're not going to keep going on these parabolic runs forever. That's what I'm trying to say here. Like, they are going to come back down. That capital will end up flowing into a new tech or a new asset class that is lagging behind. It will happen. It's happened every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think long term, you know, a lot of these things are going to be fine. I think the trust is shaken, and whatever happened in October may be one of the main drivers behind that. My 2026 prediction. Yeah. I think, look, where we are here, you know, mid January, I think we need one more dip to make everyone bearish again. I think the timeline's a little bit too bullish considering how shitty things have been right now. They're just expecting that it's going to go up. One more dip, Bitcoin down to maybe 80, 85K. I do think we are due for a sustained rally, a multi-month rally that will, one, make everyone bullish again, too bullish. People will probably start to FOMO in at the top. And then I think, look, if it quacks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. It's a duck until it's not a duck. So it's a bear until it's not a bear. I still think that 70% odds we are in a bear market and we're going to see a bear market bottom by the end of this year. But, you know, on the bright side, if we are in a bear market, it's already been like 2.5, 3 months of a bear market.
Yeah, they only last 9 to 12 months.
Hey,
like, they're not that long.
It's only 9 months.
They're not that long at all. Bargain prices for a while.
And if you guys actually want real QE, like QE is not QT ending. If you want real QE, that means rates have to come down to near zero. They're only going to do QE if rates are near zero, because that's like the last thing they can do.
Yeah.
And in order for that to happen, the stock market has to correct significantly.
Yeah, they need unemployment to spike crazy.
They're not going to do QE when the stock market is at all-time highs.
No.
That's just not, it's not going to happen. And then people are like, oh, like shadow QE. No. QE is when they pump trillions into the market.
Yeah, well, they $1.5 trillion military budget increase, $100,000 for Greenlanders maybe, and then $200 billion in mortgage bonds.
Yeah.
They're not pumping money into retail pockets.
Yeah.
Like, there's a completely different thing. People are saying it's QE. It's not stealth QE. It's there certain industries.
Military spending.
It's military spending. Yeah. It's not fucking Farcoin spending, right? Like, there's a difference. Yeah, so I think people need to wrap their head around that.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, all in all, look, it's not all doom and gloom. You can see significant bear market rallies. And I think you know, no one knows exactly what's going to happen, but I lean towards a significant bear market rally happening from now after a dip into Q2. And then we see a final bear market bottom around midterms in October, November of 2026. Could be completely wrong, but look, we're just saying, look, we nailed the past two previous moves on these market updates. If you guys disagree with us, like we said, let us know in the comments. Let us know why you're so sure that it's a 5-year cycle instead of a 4-year cycle. I mean, you could be right. We could be wrong. You just never know, right?
Yeah. Hey, make sure you guys tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.